We started last week talking about we've been chosen, you know. And the key thing about being somebody that is chosen is that it is supposed to change the way that you operate, the way that you think about yourself, and the way that you conduct yourself. And so if somebody feels free, I could easily go into their house, open the fridge, help myself to the pantry, to the chips, to the ice cream in the fridge, you know. But if I'm not, if I don't feel like I'm a son or a daughter, I'm going to walk with a different posture. And my posture is the one that is always going to be trying to please. And that's not the way that we're supposed to operate. We're supposed to operate as those people that are loved. And that is the first thing when you wake up each morning, is you say to yourself, Father, I thank you that you love me. Because this is what the Lord says somewhere in Psalms. It says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. You know? And so automatically, the way that I see myself first and foremost is that I am a person that is loved. And that is really important, because if we don't see ourselves as that man or a woman that is loved by God, it's going to make our Christian walk that much tougher, because we're always going to be trying to find something to do to appease the Lord. But we're supposed to do things that please Him. We do things not to appease Him, because basically we're saying that it's you scratch my back, Lord, I'll scratch your back. And that's not the relationship. It's only a one-way street here, where God gives us everything and we don't have to give Him everything back. And the key thing is that it changes the way we walk. You see, it changes the way we conduct ourselves, because we no longer will we conduct ourselves as men and women that have to strive for the Lord, or even have this this offering thing, because we have dealt in our hearts that I love Him, and everything that He has given me is His. I am a son and a daughter of the Most High God. Therefore, everything that I have, it's not even a question. It's like, you can have it. My grandmother, you know, I grew up in a broken family, you know, and so my grandmother nursed me, if you would believe, and she looked after me. Her and my grandfather raised me, you know, and one of the things I'd always do is that I'd always strive to go back to see her. And the one thing I wanted to do was to, everything that I had, I wanted to give to her, because I just was showing my gratitude, because of all that you have done for me. I can't help but do stuff for you. You need something, I'm going to do it. And I did it out of the goodness of my heart. And it so happened that when my grandmother passed away, I had no regret, because I said, with everything that I had, I did it so that I could make this lady happy, you know. And really, when we get grasp this thing of being chosen, we begin to understand that what it should do is that it changes the way that we view ourselves. It changes the way that we walk. No longer are we walking unsure of what it is that the Lord wants. We walk with this new confidence. And carrying on the book, you know, we finished last week, or you guys finished last week, and there's that scripture at the end of Ephesians number 1. It says that the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. And that is telling us, you see, is that if there was the same power that raised Him, is going to give me the ability to get over my sin. It will give me the ability to get over whatever struggle I have in my life. The key thing is that, am I going to be willing to succumb to that power and begin to then say, Lord, this is what your word says. I'm struggling with X, Y, Z, but I believe that the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. Therefore, this thing, whatever it may be that I'm struggling with, has to fall, has to stop in Jesus' mighty name. So it changes the way that we walk. You see, Ephesians chapter 2 talks about, you know, and we've titled it Chosen for Good Works. It talks about made alive in Christ. But it begins to talk about how we were in darkness. You know, we were living in darkness, but because of the grace of God, and this is what it says, I'll read. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, which means all of us, not some of us, all of us, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you've been saved, for He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we're united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us as examples in all future ages, as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all He has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things He has planned beforehand for us to do. Then if you begin to look at the book of Ephesians, it begins, and the whole theme of Ephesians is about unity, about relationships, because it actually then begins to talk about the Jews and Gentiles. There was a reconciliation that the Lord did. And then He moved on to say, He talked about the family relationship, to say that everybody is going to be walking in unity, husband and wife, children and parents, master and slave. And that is the whole key theme about us walking in unity. We all understand what it is to have a mortgage or a loan, credit card, personal loan. And we understand, we all know that, you know what, I can pay this off, no big deal, you know. So we understand this issue of having to pay something off. Or we understand you go for with a friend for lunch. Recently I went with a colleague, a friend for lunch, and it was dinner actually. And so it came to paying the bill. So I'm thinking, this guy's just going to pay the bill. And then he said to me, are we going to split it? I said, no, I'll pay for it, you know. And then all of a sudden, when we were leaving the restaurant, he then says, you know what, next time it's on me, you know. It's like, come on, man, just pay it, no big deal, don't. And so, and I'll just say that if you take somebody out for lunch, don't haggle about the bill, just pay it. And so he now understands that, okay, I owe him one, you know. So I owe him the next meal. My point in us saying that we understand about paying stuff is that where the Lord has taken us from a place of darkness, from death to darkness, is that there was a debt that could not be paid. No matter how much we tried, no matter how much, you know, we could have done, there was just something that only God could do. Only God could pay back this debt. And because of this, we begin to experience His grace. You know, the grace came through because He recognized that, you know, these guys, they can't pay back the money. You know, so you can imagine if your bank said to you, you know what, I know, they called you up and said, I know you cannot pay this money back. Even if you had to live to 150 years old, you will not be able to pay back this money. But guess what? Your debt is forgiven. I bet you the way that you would walk after that phone call is going to be very different to the way that you were before. But can you now begin to get up and start telling people how to pay off debts? No, because you don't know how to pay off this debt. So now it's the grace. That debt represents the debt that you couldn't pay. Grace came in. And as grace came in, you therefore cannot boast, because it's God Himself who has done it, you know. And as the grace came in, you see, we were dead, then we were raised in Christ Jesus. The grace came in, then it says we became masterpieces. So there was a complete shift. So a masterpiece is like a new thing that He had to create again. That is why He says, you and I are His masterpiece. we are created anew in Jesus. So he will then, he has created us anew so we can do the good things he planned for us. Now, what are these good works that he has planned for us? Is that anything that would bring glory to the Lord. So what we do now, we don't do things for God. We do things for God to please him and not to appease him. You know, we don't do things because, you know what, I just got to pay back the Lord for all that he did for me. The posture is different. Our posture as a church is that, you know what, for all that he has done for me, whatever it is that I do, that the Lord has willed and has said that this is what is going to happen in your life, those good works, we're going to do those. And my encouragement to all of us is that because of his grace, the way that we see ourselves, it has to change the way we do our lives. It can't just be to look good. You know, ultimately everything that we do when we experience grace is now we say, Lord, for all that you've done, I'm going to give everything over to you. You're not going to hassle with the Lord when he says, Charlie, I want you to give 1,000. You're not going to say, get behind me, Satan. You know, whatever it is that the Lord is going to do for you, your heart changes because you say, my very being is because of you. Therefore, it's from that position I give back. And it's not a struggle. Your life is not a struggle. You know, everything that you do, you become free. There's a new freedom that comes into your life. And this is us saying, chosen for good works, those things that bring glory to the Lord. And the emphasis that we have, he says that there are many people who do good. No matter how rich they are, hear it on the news, so-and-so has donated this, they've donated that. That's all great, that's excellent, but it's not done for the Lord. And there's a difference. Those are not good works, because all good works are done unto the Lord. So we don't look down on what other people are doing, but ultimately, if it's not done for the Lord, it means absolutely nothing. So what we do, the good works, is that as we mingle, as we heard through the prayer today about our neighbors, you know, as we heard about loving one another, we're going to care for one another, and that's going to be seen. That is the evidence, because it says, show your works unto men, you know, so that when men praise you, so that when they see your works, what will men do? They will glorify the Father. So when they see the good works, and it's about how we treat one another as a church. And that is the good works that we're talking about, you know. And as we finish, I mean, that's about it really, you know. If there's anything that I've said, and if you should leave this place with the one thing, is that the way that I walk with the Lord has to be different. I have to accept what he did with my life, and it's going to change the way we interact with God, we interact with each other, we interact with our families, we interact in our businesses. This is a complete change in everything. But it's just that one thing, is that my swagger and the way that I walk has got to be different. Because there should be a contrast between me living in darkness and me now living in the light. You know? And be quick, you know, I'll say this, be quick to forgive yourself. Have an athlete's mind, because when they lose a match, they move on to the next match. You know, quickly forget and say, Lord, I receive your forgiveness. You know, and don't beat yourself up. You know, your self-talk be poor. No, just have positive self-talk. Sorry, stuffed up. Move on. Now, I'm not saying that we one-time just do whatever we want. You know, I'm not suggesting that at all. But just receive God's love and receive God's grace. You know, my sister, I was praying for you the other day, you know, and I just feel that, can you stand, please? I just feel, you know, as I was praying for you and your family, you know, that I just see that God is shifting things, you know. But most importantly, He wants to bring you to a place of peace in your life. A place of peace as you begin whatever it is that's going on in your family environment. God wants to bring, He's bringing a new season. And He's going to bring in a peace. And what I feel the Lord, I sense the Lord saying is that it's time now you begin to take greater authority. You take a stand and begin to declare things over your children. You begin to declare things over your family. And even as your husband is away, that God is just going to, as He does something new in your life, it is about standing up in that position of authority and recognizing that He has given you His authority. And because of that, have confidence in the authority that the Lord has given you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. If you run a business, I want you to stand up. Run a business, or you're in charge of, you know, if you're in charge of a business, I just need you to stand up. You know, you're a responsible person. You know, a responsible person. Stand up. You know, I sensed as I was coming in this morning that there is just an anointing, you know, and a grace that God is putting into our business people. And it is not a striving. Now, one of the key things we need to do is to be those people that begin to say, Lord, whatever it is that is meant to come my way, let it come my way. And let's not be limited by our own thinking that, you know, we sometimes think something and then we quickly just put it aside. And I just believe for all the business people that God is placing deposits in your hearts, whether it's in relationships with other people that are going to come in and are going to catapult you for the next season of your life, for the next blessing that the Lord is bringing in your life. And I just sense that a courage, you're going to need a new courage. And that courage and that confidence comes in the Lord. That comes with spending time and hearing the voice of the Lord. And I'm just praying that you would hear Him more clearly, that as you begin to seek Him, God will begin to whisper things, and God is going to bring people into your path, you know. And whatever meeting you're going to go for, I just ask that you would just say, Lord, show me. And be those who are quick to listen and slow to speak. Father, I thank You for our business people, Lord God, in the church. Father, I thank You that You are taking them, Lord God, from one level to the next level, Father. And Lord, I pray in this new season that You're bringing into their lives, Father, You would give them an ear to hear, Father. You know, we heard Greg speak this morning that a few seconds in the presence of God is better than hours anywhere else. And I would just ask that you never abandon the place of seeking the Lord, because He's going to whisper things in your life. And you know what? You're going to experience the favor of God. Father, I thank You, Lord God, for Your business people. I thank You, Lord God. And even those that aspire to business, Lord God, aspire to do something. Father, let them not be afraid. I pray that You would give them a heart of courage, Father. A heart of courage that is going to stand, that is going to take the next step, Father. Because You are with them, Lord God. You will never leave them nor forsake them. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Clap to the Lord this morning.